Well, good morning. It is so good to be with you, looking forward to a time of fellowship and worship together, and even the privilege of bringing God's word. Grateful for the invitation, grateful for the joyful and wonderful Guam hospitality. It's been a joy. It's the first time that I've gone to a place and the immigration is joyful and welcoming. So she said to me, "You will love the food." And I've been loving the food so far. I bring greetings from Zambia, from my church family, CABU family, and indeed my own family. I can assure you that they are praying for us, even as we participate in this conference. Let me ask you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, we're going to read from verse 1 through 13, but our focus is going to be verse 5 through to 13. As we begin our missions conference on the theme of "Let the Nations Be Glad," I'd like to challenge us and encourage us on the power of shameless prayer. The power of shameless prayer. If we are to see the gospel advance to the nations, we must be a people of prayer. The gospel advances through the fuel of prayer as God's people devote themselves to prayer. So that's my focus this morning. Then tomorrow we'll begin considering the theme in detail. Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.' And then he said to them, 'Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer from within, "Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pray. Father, bless your word unto our hearts and glorify yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How is your prayer life? That is a guilt-inducing question. But it is also a helpful diagnostic question. How is your prayer life? Every Christian knows the importance of prayer. But most Christians will readily admit they are dissatisfied with their prayer lives. And people struggle with prayer because they often don't know how to pray. And people also struggle with prayer because they do not know the attitude or the manner in which they should pray. So I ask, how is your prayer life? In our passage, we learn a lot about prayer. Why we should pray, how we should pray. Jesus gives the disciples the content of the prayer. This morning, I'd like to encourage us that our prayers must be characterized by shamelessness and persistence. The main point is this: Christians must desperately persist in prayer because God, their Father, gives good gifts. Christians must desperately persist in prayer because God, their Father, gives good gifts. So let us consider three attitudes the child of God must have in prayer. Firstly, necessity motivates persistent prayer. Necessity motivates persistent prayer. So, in the context, the disciples have been observing Jesus praying, and they said to him, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And he gives them what they should pray. Here's the truth. Here's the content of your prayer. And then he gives them an illustration to demonstrate their attitude and disposition in their praying. You have a man who receives a visitor in the middle of the night, and he's culturally bound, just like our culture. There is an unwritten rule: if you receive visitors, you have to feed them regardless of the time. And so this man has no food, but he needs to adhere to cultural norms. So he goes to knock at the neighbor's house, asking for help, asking for food. And we see his desperation. I mean, what will cause a man to go out at midnight, knock at someone's house, asking for bread? Well, desperation, necessity. He was a man in need. And it is this desperation that leads him to persist. And the idea being communicated there is that you keep asking, you keep knocking, you keep seeking, and you're not deterred by obstacles. I mean, this man, his friend comes up with excuses and says, the children are sleeping. And of course, he uses the children as an excuse, but in essence, he's saying, hey, I'm asleep. Locked up, we can't be working, you're disturbing my sleep. But he persists, and the reason he persists is because he knows the ability of the one he's asking. It's not persistence because of his ability, but it's persistence because of the ability of the one he's approaching. He has a need, and he is desperately in need, and therefore he persists in his asking. And needs vary in intensity and gravity. But needs have a way of driving you to persist in prayer. When you are desperately in need, when you feel a certain weight and gravity, there's a certain desperation that you have. And that leads you to persist because you know I can't go back without the need met. And each one of us will have varying degrees of needs, don't we? Financial needs, material needs, health needs, marriage needs, children needs, unsaved families, various relationships, responsibilities, and they carry a weight and they are a burden. But whatever the need, when you feel the need weighing heavily on you, you take it to the Lord in prayer. No wonder we are admonished, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Friends, needy people are prayerful people. Needy people persist in asking because they know they are dependent on God for their sustenance. Do you feel the weight and burden of advancing the gospel to the nations? Does the very idea of taking the gospel to every tongue, tribe, and nation overwhelm you? Are you discouraged by the sheer lostness and darkness of the world? Do you feel inadequate and desperately under-resourced to reach the nations? Maybe you think, look, the islands are enough. It's too much work already. And you have to add the other nations? We're just us. That does seem too much, too far-fetched, impossible. It can't be done. We don't have the people. We don't have the money. That's good. If you feel overwhelmed and needy, it's very good. That neediness should lead you to prayer. Should cause you to persist in prayer. Should propel you to pray to God, God of the harvest. Needy people are prayerful people. Necessity motivates persistent prayer. Secondly, necessity motivates shameless prayer. So Jesus says in verse 8, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. And the word translated as impudence, other versions will say importunity, or shameless boldness, or shamelessness, or persistence, carries the idea of continuous, constant, perpetual asking. A shamelessness. It's a idea of a child who asks, you know, the parents for something, and then they just nag and pester until the request is met. You know, there were children ask, Daddy, can I have something? My son will say, can you buy me this toy? And then I say, we'll see. 3 hours later, he's like, so when are you buying me the toys? Okay, we'll see tomorrow. And then tomorrow, you wake up, he's, you know, just woken up. It's like, yes, tomorrow, buy me the toy. One time he asked me for something and I kept forgetting, got busy. When I would come, he'll be like, have you bought? Just open the door, have you bought? No, not yet, I forgot, sorry. Tomorrow, and then tomorrow he says, don't forget. I forget, he's on my case. So one day I got back home, opened the gate, then I remembered I didn't buy the toy. And I was not prepared for the nagging and the pestering. So I turned back, drove to the shops, got it, and brought the toy. That's shamelessness. And that's what prayer is. It's begging. It's going before God, acknowledging your need and inability, and while acknowledging His ability. And it's you, as a prayerless beggar, coming before God and saying, I am in need, and you are unashamed to ask. And there are people who view prayer as though it's, you know, the one praying is powerful. It's like you're giving God some permission to act in your life, and you are decreeing and commanding. Oh, no, dear friends, prayer is begging. You are the one in need, and you are desperate, and you are persisting and waiting for the Lord to answer. You see, people who are self-sufficient and self-reliant are prayerless. People who think they've sorted, they have it sorted out, have it figured out, are prayerless. Because they think they don't need help. They don't see the need to persist. They are self-confident about whatever it is. Self-confident about their health, about their marriage, about their parenting, about their daily needs, about their future. They don't feel desperate. And therefore, they have a certain sense of shame, you know. They want to have some dignity. They don't want to beg. Friends, we ought to be like this man, constantly, perpetually knocking, constantly, perpetually asking, constantly, perpetually seeking. Friends, don't be shy or ashamed to ask your Father in heaven to give you good gifts. Don't be shy to ask your Father in heaven to grant you success. Don't be shy to ask your Father in heaven to grant you the nations. Don't be shy to ask for convictions and conversions. That the Lord will save souls in the hundreds and thousands and millions. You know, we can have a certain false humility that, you know, we're weary of numbers and we're weary of success and you don't want to be deemed as wanting success. And there are people who are just, you know, make up numbers and say, hey, thousands got saved and, you know, the thousands never are never seen. You know, every week hundreds are getting saved, but the churches are remaining the same. But friends, if the Lord is the Lord of the harvest, shouldn't we pray for conversions? Shouldn't we pray that he convicts people and saves people? Shouldn't we pray that he provides resources for the work of missions? Shouldn't we pray that he raises up laborers who will go out to the highways and the byways and to every tribe, tongue, and nation to proclaim the gospel? Shouldn't we pray? Don't be shy to ask the Lord to grant you what he has said he would do. He knows, he cares, and he gives good gifts. Necessity motivates persistent prayer. Necessity motivates shameless prayer. And thirdly, relationships motivates confident prayer. Did you note the level of relationships that's there? I mean, this man is going to his friend to knock. I mean, that's the only way you are going to have the confidence to knock at someone's door at midnight to ask for bread. There has to be some relationship. If your culture is like ours, it's a communal culture. And, you know, what's yours is mine. And we rejoice when people get things because you know it's going to benefit you. So it's not uncommon for friends to walk up to you and say, what's your program tomorrow? And you're thinking, do you want me to tell you what the breakdown is, or are you wanting something? It's like, yeah, we have a trip and we wanted to use your car. They were planning for a trip and thinking through. And they said, what, you know, we need a car. Well, Chopo has a car, so we'll use his. The closer you are, the shameless you are. There's a boldness and a confidence that comes with relationship. And in the prayer, you also have the father, and in the illustration, Jesus gives the father and the child, and he gives the example, makes the argument from the lesser to the greater. If you who are evil as fathers know how to give good gifts, how much more will the righteous father give good gifts? In prayer, the Christian is going before God, not as some distant deity, but as a loving, caring father. It's a child going before a loving father. There's a relationship there, an experiential, loving relationship. Friends, do you know him? And does he know you? Can you call God your father? Or, you know, do you just know about God in a religious sense? Have you known him through his son, Jesus Christ, whom he sent? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And all who have received and believed in Jesus Christ have been given the right to be called children of God. Because Jesus came and died for our sins in our place, that you and me, when we believe in him, our sins are wiped and we are added to the family of God, such that we can go before God with boldness and find grace in time of need. Do you know him? Have you believed in him? Have your sins been wiped clean, that you've been reconciled to God and you are a child of God? Friends, if you do not, glad you came, because today is a day of salvation. You might know this God, you can know this God by believing in him, confessing your sins, and trusting in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, so that you can go call God your Father. Then you have access to his throne. You can pray to him as a child goes before the Father. And you know, there's freedom and safety and confidence that comes from an experiential, loving relationship. You know, when you're praying as a child of God, you can go before him with childlike faith, full of peace and worry-free. You know, children have no worries. You don't find a child seated on the porch, downcast, worrying about inflation or the price of fuel, the cost of food. All they know is, if I'm hungry, I need food. How you get it, where you get it, that's your business. You are the parent, I am the child. And most times as Christians, we don't want to be the child. We want to be partners with God. We want to brainstorm together with God. And God is saying, you are the child. Come before my throne and you will find grace in time of need. See, when you know the Father, you also know that he gives good gifts. He determines the needs and provides for the needs. You know that everything you are, everything you do, and everything you have is from the Lord. Jesus says, you know, how much more will he give you, he'll give you the Holy Spirit? Will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And in the book of Luke, the Holy Spirit is the channel of God's grace and blessing. He enables God's children to be faithful and fruitful. In other words, when we know God and we desperately go before him in prayer, he supplies all our needs. He gives us the necessary enablement to accomplish all our tasks. Even those tasks that seem impossible and beyond us. Three implications. One, we must be a people of prayer. We must long to talk to our Father. We must be a church of prayer. We must earnestly and boldly pray, cast your cares upon the Father. When you are overwhelmed with the burden of the nations, oh friends, instead of despairing, run to God in prayer. Pray for the nations, pray for conversions, pray for gospel advance, pray for growth, pray for laborers, pray for one another, but pray. Secondly, we must pray honestly and sincerely. You know, prayer is talking and pouring out your heart, not a performance. You know, not some rehearsed, memorized phrases that you channel out without thinking and feeling. However, you know, at times you feel one way in your heart and then you're saying something else with your lips. Before long, you get tired of it. You get tired of pretending. You get tired of the superficial conversation. I mean, just like when you're talking to someone and it's always superficial, it's always, you know, it's almost rehearsed. Before long, you're just exhausted talking to that individual. Friends, beware of repeated rituals and memorized performances that will kill and stifle your prayer life. Be honest. The Lord already knows your heart. Tell Him. And friends, sometimes what we need to say to the Lord is, Lord, we know you want us to reach the nations, but we think it's impossible. Help our unbelief. And we must guard against self-sufficiency and ingratitude. Do not rely on self. Do not rely or find confidence in strategy. You know, we've come up with a wonderful plan, and this plan is bound to be successful. And think, success lies in the plan. Or experience. You know, you hear the Christian world language like, you know, this one is a missions expert. Whatever that means. Missions expert. Well, I hope it means they are prayerful. I hope it means they realize their inability, that they constantly run to God who is totally able. But we must also count our blessings, shouldn't we? When we pray and God answers, we should count our blessings so that we do not lose sight of what the Lord is doing. You know, there are people who every plan you come up with, every suggestion you come up with, their response is, it can't be done. It will fail. We don't have enough money. We don't have the people. It's impossible. Yeah. It usually is. But thankfully, it does not rely on us. So when we realize it's impossible, we go to the one with whom nothing is impossible. Read a story of a father who put his son to bed, the usual routine, read a bedtime story, prayed and said, good night, it's time to sleep. Father finally went to bed after a long day and And just as he was about to sleep, he heard the familiar voice. "Daddy, I'm thirsty, I want water." He knew it's the usual bedtime routine. When itches and thirst and whatnot come up, trying to delay sleep. So the father says, "Son, you are not thirsty, go back to sleep." After a few minutes, the son cries out again, "Daddy, I'm thirsty, I need water." The father says, "You're making noise, you need to sleep. If you go out again, I'll give you a spanking." This time there was silence for a little bit longer. The son called out again, "Daddy, when you come to give me my spanking, could you please bring me water? I am thirsty." Persistence. Necessity motivates persistence and shamelessness. Even boldness. Christians must desperately and boldly persist in prayer because their Father gives good gifts. Let's pray. Lord, may our knowledge of you and our relationship with you motivate us to persist in prayer, to be shameless in our praying and our asking, and to boldly run to you in prayer, knowing that you give and grant good gifts. Help our unbelief and cause us to be prayerful. In Jesus' name, amen.